Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Trump travel ban 3.0 upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. Rosanna Berardi of Berardi Immigration Law is in studio with us this morning, sorting through it. First, were you surprised at all by this ruling, Rosanna?
Not entirely. When we heard the oral arguments before the court in April, we got a sense of the route that the Supreme Court was taking. So based on those questions and the oral argument, we weren't entirely surprised at the court's decision.
Do you see this as a lot of people are saying the Supreme Court now divided? It's a totally different court because of how it's made up now, with President Trump able to put a justice that he wanted on the court. Do you see this as being a political decision when you go through the entirety of, what would you say, 94 pages of the decision? Or was it, based firmly in, legal activity, what they believe?
Well, I think if you look at it purely from a legal perspective, it was a very close reading of the U.S. Constitution and the current U.S. Code. With all politics being placed aside, the U.S. Code loudly and clearly allows the president to control who comes in and out of the United States. Really not debatable. If that were to change, it would only happen through Congress.
When does this ban take effect? Is it already in effect?
It's been in effect technically since December, because when the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case, they said we're going to let it stay in effect until we make our decision. So really the impact of yesterday wasn't that riveting with respect to when is this going to go into effect, but it is a final ruling because many groups were hoping that the court would make another decision.
So the decision kind of places more on the power of the president, says more to that than it does on, anything really regarding immigration?
Well, it really speaks to the president's power to control immigration, to control the borders. We haven't seen a Supreme Court case speaking to this issue in quite a while. So we were due from a legal perspective, and the court said loudly and clearly it's up to the president to control who comes in and who comes out based on national security.
Does this mean, Rosanna, that no one from these seven countries can come into the U.S.?
Well, there's a slew of exceptions under the current travel ban. If you're applying for asylum, you can come in. If you're from one of the seven countries, if you're a permanent resident that is a native of those countries, you can come in. There's also waivers that are issued on a case-by-case basis if you feel like you have a compelling need to be in the United States. So it doesn't permanently close the door. There are exceptions. The waivers, in terms of the statistics, pretty low and difficult to get one, but it does exist.
What does it mean for people who are already here from those countries?
Well, it really speaks to individuals applying for visas to enter the United States. So I would say if they were here right now, it would have no impact.
Now, how many people are here from those countries? And are they here mostly on business? I'm assuming you deal a lot with people who are here, just working for various businesses, whether on a short or long-term basis. Can you give us an idea of kind of who this is impacting right now?
Well, based on everything that we've seen and we've read, individuals that are here already usually are here through work permits, meaning that they are sponsored by a U.S. corporation, they're carefully vetted, they were screened by the U.S. Department of State in terms of issuing a visa. So we have lots of workers. We have people also applying for political asylum from those countries. So it runs the gamut, but this is going to hit hardest for, let's say, a naturalized U.S. citizen from one of the seven countries that was going to try to bring over a family member. So if there was someone who is a U.S. citizen that may have a spouse and a child in Venezuela, it's going to be very difficult to reunite that family.
What about students? We often have a lot of students that come over from overseas, including these countries, right?
Right. Yeah, it will definitely impact the flow of international students. Now, mind you, it's only seven countries, and there are many more countries in the world, so we'll still have our population. But these countries were not pulled out of a hat. These countries were selected based on very hardcore statistics in terms of either sponsoring terrorism or just not having good vetting systems in place for their citizens from a security perspective. So this was not done haphazardly. This actual list has existed for many years under many different administrations. And we will see the door closed. But like I said, there is a waiver available.
Now, there's not a lot of us who are planning on traveling to any of these countries anytime soon. No trips to Iran in many people's forecasts. But, you know, for Dennis Robin, he makes a trip to North Korea every now and then. What does it mean for someone like him if you were planning on going to Venezuela for whatever reason?
Yeah, well, I'm sure Dennis Rodman has his own in with the government, so he probably will get his visa no problem. But for the rest of us, I think there might be some reciprocity and those countries saying, well, no, you're not going to let our citizens in. We're not going to let you in. Hard to say. We'll see what happens.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state will provide free legal services to anyone detained at New York airports on immigration charges. The move in response to the Supreme Court's ruling upholding President Trump's ban on travel from mostly Muslim countries. Cuomo says lawyers will be available through the Liberty Defense Project. Joining us in studio is immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi. Rosanna, been telling people about this story, free legal services to anyone detained at a New York airport. Do you see that being a problem? You know, when this first executive order was signed, we saw the, you know, images of people being, you know, pulled off planes, turned around. This time around, is there going to be those scenarios, people detained at airports, or do you see everything kind of being sorted out?
Well, I don't think we're going to see the chaos that we saw back in January of 2017 when the very first executive order came out regarding the travel ban. Travel ban 3.0 is a bit more narrow, and it's been in effect for numerous months. So we shouldn't see anything broad and sweeping, but remember that people have been detained at airports and at borders forever. It's part of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection's job to do that. So this isn't really anything new. I don't think we're going to see an uptick because of the Supreme Court's decision.
Rosanna, could the president decide to change this list of countries if he wants to?
Well, I mean, he could issue another executive order with a travel ban and perhaps expand the list of countries. I think it's pretty unlikely at this point. These countries have been historically on a list that the government has had, but who knows? Remains to be seen, but I would think it would be pretty unlikely at this point.
The day after the Supreme Court's ruling, we're joined live in studio by Rosanna Berardi of Berardi Immigration Law, talking all about the travel ban, what the ruling means going forward. Now, I think for a lot of people, there's confusion because the original executive order was for 90 days. Travel was going to be halted, you know, for these different countries that are, you know, state sponsored of terrorism or whatever they were identified as being a problem for. Now, it's been well over 90 days. It's been a year and a half almost mm-hmm. since that very first executive order. So what changes going forward? Is it 90 days from yesterday at 10 a.m.? Is the timeline completely out the window now? Well, what's going to happen?
Well, it remains to be seen because really what happened yesterday is the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the president does have the authority to control immigration, but technically kicked the case back to the Ninth Circuit to say, okay, figure out how this is all going to play out. So it remains to be seen in terms of when this will end, if it does. The decision also had a component in it that said the president doesn't have to have a finite period of time, that it could be an indefinite ban. So we'll have to see what the Ninth Circuit does with it.
Rosanna, this is the 3.0 Trump travel ban. How different is it from his original travel ban?
Well, the original travel ban came out fast and furious, 10 days after the inauguration of President Trump, and was a bit of a mess logistically. Didn't have any exceptions for permanent residents returning to the United States. Didn't give clear directive to the government in terms of what to do when people arrived. So this travel ban is much more narrow, has a very, very delineated list of exceptions, provides for a waiver provision. This was written, I think, with some thought, and I think they learned after time one and two of how to actually carefully craft this.
With this executive order kind of dangling out there, you know, waiting for a court's decision, What actually has been going on over the last year and a half, and how will it change now that this ruling is official?
Well, I think a lot of people were waiting to find out what was going to happen, particularly if they were overseas and they had a family member that was a U.S. citizen wanting to reunite. People were just waiting. Well, now they know the decision, and they're not going to be able to come to the United States anytime soon. So this has provided some closure with respect to people's ability to come to the United States.
Would this put to end any more challenges because it came from the Supreme Court?
Very difficult for this to be challenged. The Supreme Court's the final word. Now, what could happen is Congress can decide to change the law. Very, very difficult to get Congress to do that. And highly unlikely. So I do think this is the final word on this issue.
Joining us live in studio, we have Rosanna Berardi of Berardi Immigration Law. And in just a couple minutes, we'll talk about what's going on at the southern border, because that's obviously been a big topic for a couple weeks now. But quickly again on yesterday's Supreme Court decision for the travel ban. One of the things we just finished talking about, would be very difficult for any more challenges to this. But if the president were to make another executive order, he kind of mentioned yesterday that, you know, he feels now that he could make plenty of different executive orders. Would that be challenged, and would it depend on the language, or would this decision kind of ultimately mean whatever executive orders might come in the future would stand?
Well, I think if the past is any indication of the future, anything that President Trump's going to do with respect to immigration is going to be challenged. And we've just seen that overnight. A ruling came out of a court in San Diego regarding the detention and the separation of minors from families. So I think no matter what the Supreme Court said and the president having the ultimate authority to control immigration, I think we're going to see challenges. And it's really, to me as a lawyer, it's such an interesting way of seeing our democracy in action. An executive order comes out, it gets challenged, it goes through all the levels of our government, and the Supreme Court has the final word. And it's interesting to see it play out. And yeah, it's been 18 months, but when you think about the amount of litigation that's gone on and the Supreme Court taking it up and rendering a decision, it's really quick, 18 months for all this to occur.
It's true. You know, let's talk about the southern border, because we've been watching this unfold, and you have too. You've been helping us, you know, analyze everything that's been going on. But last night, a federal judge in San Diego came out with a ruling ordering the government to reunite separated families within 30 days. And some of the kids have to be reunited within 14 days. How realistic do you think this is?
Well, I think this is reminiscent of Travel Ban 1.0, where the government came out with a policy that didn't have a lot of details, didn't have a lot of logistical planning behind it, and it was immediately challenged in court. So the decision out of San Diego yesterday really says to the Trump administration, we've got to do better. We have to have more control in terms of how long kids are separated from parents. But we'll see. This is going to be a political volleyball. It's going to go in and out of courts. It's going to be challenged. It's going to be handled in many different ways. And the Trump administration has vacillated over the last couple of weeks, first by saying, you know, zero tolerance. Anyone that's coming in illegally is going to be criminally prosecuted. Then saying only Congress can fix that. Then they said, well, maybe not. Here's our executive order. And now we've got a challenge from the ACLU coming out of San Diego. So it's a hot mess. But I think we're going to see ultimately at the end of the day, like we did with the travel ban, that there will be some firm guidance with respect to this issue.
You described it now, though, as a hot mess. And when you think about the situation, especially at the southern border, I mean, you have thousands and thousands of families that were separated. Now, within 30 days, this judge rules that they have to be put back together. It seems like we've called it a tall order. It seems almost impossible on some level. Now, do you expect, if this order isn't met, for now there to be more lawsuits filed and this to get even murkier before, as you mentioned, some more firm guidance comes?
Absolutely, because what happens to the parent who's been criminally prosecuted and being detained by the government, who now has to have their child back within 30 days? Well, you can't detain children long-term with adults. So is the government going to release those individuals that are detained? We don't know. And I think no matter which way this goes, we're going to see some litigation. We always do. And, you know, unfortunately, it has to work its course out. But 30 days for the government to do anything, really short window of time, especially when there's thousands of people involved.
Yeah, and there's really been kind of an information void on the numbers. We really don't have a firm number of kids that are still separated from a week ago or even up to today. I mean, they're really not saying.
Right, right. They're keeping those numbers close to the vest. We're not sure why. We don't know. We don't know how they're being held. We don't really know a whole lot of what's going on. And part of it is national security. I mean, you don't want to loudly and clearly announce what's going on when you unlawfully enter the United States, because you don't want to encourage people to do that. But it's become very muddied in terms of what to do with children that are separated.
So now I'm curious, for you, with all of this talk going on, whether it's the travel ban, whether it's what's going on at the Southern, zero tolerance, you know, all the different things going on, for you and your practice, what are some of the things that you deal with mostly on a day-to-day basis, and has it changed with all this commotion regarding immigration?
Well, people say to me constantly, well, you must be so busy with all of this immigration stuff. And really what we've seen over the last 18 months is people are definitely more mindful of the U.S. immigration law. Look, I've been doing this for over 20 years. No one ever talked about the U.S. immigration law. It was always like, what do you do for a living? But now people are saying, wow, we have this law. We're not going to take a chance. We need our work permits. We need our green cards. So let's be in full compliance. So we've definitely seen a shift from people that would say, well, I'll just come in and see what happens, or I'll just cross the U.S.-Canadian border, see what happens. People don't want to see what happens anymore. They want to do it right the first time around. We're also seeing just a lot of resistance from the government in terms of approving cases, asking for lots more information. We're definitely getting things done, but it's taking a lot more labor and time.
Rosanna, very good to hear about all of this. We appreciate the analysis, too.
My pleasure.
That's Rosanna Berardi of Berardi Immigration Law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.